Oh, it's Thursday, the 28th.
Yeah, I don't even know if we're going to do different intros every day. We don't even know what day this is going to come out on. But this is the nonsense from the news.
This, if you're looking for legitimate news, look at the previous videos because this is just the stories that we looked at and said that's nonsense.
Technology nonsense really is a lot of fun. It's for us, it's literally the aftermath, the Schadenfreude of watching somebody shove a screwdriver into an electrical outlet, and it's like, why did you think that was a good idea? Why would that ever work? Or just news of the absurd, where it's people freaking out and reacting to a burger flipping robot because it's going to take our jobs or whatever. I don't know.
But Flippy didn't make the nonsense. I think Flippy's serious business. So
Flippy is serious business in terms of the new, there is no low-end labor in the economy anymore.
you got to watch yesterday's episode to see about Flippy, but today's episode is nonsense.
Who knows? Maybe YouTube will actually send the videos out to all of our subscribers for a change. That would be nice.
That's what we're hoping for. That's why we're trying to bend over and do exactly what they want.
This story is mostly nonsense. This is transcripts of the air traffic control system around California and Oregon and Washington State, and there was an unidentified aircraft there. And it's like, oh, it's spaceman. No, it was definitely an experimental aircraft. Don't know what government it was working for, but it was definitely an experimental aircraft, and they sent F-15s after it to try to figure it out. The scary thing about it is this aircraft was insanely fast, like
And
crazy fast.
completely invisible to both ground radar, anti-air, because they talked about the Bigfoot National Guard anti-air system, couldn't see it at all, and even it had no transponder, and even the other planes, which visually reported it, they didn't get any sort of like collision detection, in-flight detection. Nobody could see this plane except with the naked eye, and they said it was also very large.
Yeah, none of the instrumentation on the aircraft, even the sensor instrumentation, was detecting anything. So, a bunch of pilots who can listen to the recordings, nobody was freaking out. It apparently did look like some type of aircraft to all of the pilots. So, I presumably it had wings and stuff. I think they had a video of it, and it looked kind of aircrafty to me as well in terms of like exhaust and all that kind of thing. But, this kind of thing with the march of technology. Things like unexplainable phenomena are going to get less and less and less, and to the point where literally everything is under surveillance at all times. We can just tap into a satellite and say, "Oh, okay, yeah, we can see what that is. It's all good."
Well, it's clearly the gray men wanted us to think it was a plane, so they installed a body kit on the UFO to make it look like a plane. Now they did scramble the F-15s. I don't think they ever caught it. At least if they did, it's all been redacted. There are some mysterious blank spots in these recordings. This was all freedom of information stuff. So the people kind of thought, well, that's weird that there's like 5 minutes of just nothing here. Maybe somebody got to this and decided that the world should not be finding out about the test aircraft.
Test aircraft. I want to know what country, what was the flag? Was there at least, I really think that there should be a tiny American flag like on the tail or whatever of those experimental aircraft. Because if you've got visual contact with it, the cat's out of the bag. At least let us know what country it's working for.
Well, it could be working for sections of the government where it's not necessarily working for the American people.
So, like all of it, then I guess I don't know.
This is the private say the I don't know whoever the NSA's private testing not necessarily working for the American people.
This is probably one of the most shocking things that I have seen in a long time. The U.S. border officials haven't properly verified that visitor passports, the cryptographic data on the passport, matches the information in the passport, and so. Apparently, there's a chip in passports, and it's really hard to forge the chip. Apparently, nobody's even been checking the chip for a long time.
Well, more importantly, they don't have the equipment to do that. So think about this. Think about the amount of money. How much? What was the body scanner contract?
Yeah, it's like we can look at you naked, but we can't check a chip.
So we spent all that money on body scanners, but 0 cents on checking the passport for forgeries in a pretty much foolproof way. So again,
Just shoving that screwdriver right in that electrical outlet.
but let's think about what could possibly be holding this up. Maybe certain elements of the government want people coming in that you don't know anything about. Just like that aircraft they don't want showing up on radar. And this would make that impossible.
How else are spies supposed to move in and out of the country freely?
Yeah.
Let's be clear about this.
Or, you know, your assets that you're bringing in to double-cross the other government. You know, you got to get them in and out.
You are Bill Smith of Fettersburg, Ohio. Okay, I guess that sounds good.
The other thing is, you know, the TSA workers, do you think they're going to be able to figure out? Yeah.
No, I read a thing that they had apparently confiscated somebody's oboe reeds because they were a threat to national security.
You think that was some sort of like ancient Asian weapon from the samurai?
I don't know. This is a fun, for all of you guys that are worried about AI killing us all, the seven deadly sins of AI predictions. And this is by Rodney Brooks. Now, Rodney Brooks worked at the CSAIL, the MIT Media Lab. He's worked on tons and tons of AI projects since time immemorial. He worked on a project that I got to see in person many years ago. It was a COG, which is a really advanced, at the time, AI vision system. It was just sort of mind-blowing. This guy is incredibly intelligent, knows what he's talking about. And the article was just sort of a lot of fun, because it's like, oh, this is going to happen. It's like, no. It's like, well, what about this? No. What about estimation and all this other stuff? No. So it was sort of fun.
Well, I hate to rain on your hero worship here, but this was horseshit. Everything about this article, he was like, "How you shouldn't make this prediction because you don't know." And then he made a prediction in the opposition.
That he did do.
So who the hell are you? The other thing, you know, we talked a lot about, it's like, okay, neural networks and machine learning, these are very, very specific. It's not like they're going to solve every problem. It takes a lot of work to apply these to every individual problem. But if you look at neural networks and machine learning versus what we had before in terms of AI, totally different.
Yeah.
So who's to say that we don't have another sea change that makes everything a lot better?
Well, it's really interesting because at the time that I saw the lab, it was AI as imagined by the original AI pioneers like Marvin Minsky and those guys. And Google's AI, like the AI that Google has produced in TensorFlow and backpropagation neural nets and things like that, is kind of new, sort of a new learning in AI. It's not really, if you want to be really super pedantic about it versus the Marvin Minsky AI, it's not really true AI because it's limited in problem scope or it's limited in problem domain. And yeah, granted, TensorFlow could be applied to more generic problems, but it's a situation where the tools can be applied to specific problems and the application works really well. And so what he's saying is that the AI that exists today is still not a general solution to the problem. It's still specific enough that consciousness is not going to arise out of it. But you're right. I do think that he downplays the utility of that kind of AI because clearly, I mean, TensorFlow is so easy that people that don't have really strong computer science backgrounds can download it and do arbitrary things with it that solve business problems that are currently done by human beings. And so it is going to be a shift in terms of the economy and functionality and that kind of thing, but it's still a fun read.
The other thing he ignores is, what about that AI that perfected the other AI? You know, it's going to be on like an on the shoulders of giants type of thing where just suddenly you can't, it's hard to make TensorFlow apply to a new specific problem, but what if there's a TensorFlow that can make the TensorFlow?
Yeah.
So then that becomes trivial, and you just simply make thousands of versions of it, or millions of versions of it.
TensorFlow is really good. It's like, I have this input data, and this is what I want my output to be. Fill it in, and it'll do really well. And in the noise in that data, there can be data points. It's like, oh, well, we didn't explicitly tell it this. And it's like, well, there was some noise in that data set that probably kind of told you that or that you could infer that. And so that works, but that doesn't imply that there's any kind of conscious understanding of what it's doing. But that doesn't mean that it's not ineffective.
I don't think we need consciousness to destroy the economy.
Yeah. I would definitely agree with that. I don't think that we need consciousness to, you know, mop the floors and flip the burgers in McDonald's or whatever.
Lay bricks. Sell
I would love to have a bricklaying robot. That would be amazing.
They have that. Remember we did the bricklaying robot.
I mean, one that will just, it's like, I want to 3D print a house. Here's some bricks. I'll come back in 2 days. And it's like, oh, good job, Bricky. I've got, you know, a house now. That sounds amazing.
That's definitely coming.
The fun thing about YouTube is, like, the whole reason we're doing the different format is just to see how YouTube reacts to that, or to see how that works in terms of sharing and monetization and that sort of thing. And so YouTube has finally noticed that, hey, it's got some really popular channels that are maybe sort of against the new policies. So InfoWars has been affected by new YouTube policies. I thought this was kind of funny.
I hate this new world that we live in, because I don't want to defend Donald Trump. I don't want to be that person. But I'm almost forced into that corner because, yes, InfoWars, that's entertainment. Let's admit, okay? That's not news. That's entertainment. That's somebody trying to make money by coming up with these crazy... It's basically BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
But for a different audience.
And a more twisted and terrible BuzzFeed. And this time, this video was benefiting from the school shooting tragedy. Yes. And it's like they're saying that the... Which, students that were actors or something.
Which we probably shouldn't. This is the one that's going to get demonetized now. But here's the thing about InfoWars. I don't trust InfoWars any less than I trust CNN at this point. And I know they're both basically doing the same thing. They're pandering to an audience to make money. They're not trying to tell me news. And InfoWars, once in a while, will... give you a piece of solid news that eventually turns out it's like, oh shit, they were right about that.
Broken, you know? Clocks right twice a day.
Yeah. I mean, it's mixed in with a lot of noise. Of course it is, but I think that's true for most news organizations these days. And this is YouTube selectively enforcing their policies as usual.
I wish that the hardcore journalists that have really high integrity would develop a social media following. And they totally do not want to do that. It's super against their personality. But it's like, you know, fund whoever's investigative journalism into this. And then they do the write-up of that. And you can trust that and take it to the bank. It might be transformative.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like we have any of those people who don't have a political agenda these days. Because it's so left versus right at this point.
Yeah. There have been a lot of cases where I've seen a journalist that is like, no, I'm so committed to my ideals, I have to present this case this way because the other side is playing dirty. I have to play dirty too. And it's like, yeah, you don't do that.
It's there's some sort of thing in nature about that where, you know, if one animal cheats, like if one animal pretends to fight and the other animal runs away and the animal that cheated got the food, then... eventually that plays out that all animals have to fight all the time because you can't take the risk.
Yeah.
And it's just a culture of violence in the woods.
Speaking of a culture of violence, Steve Jobs' pre-Apple CV goes on sale for $50,000. His CV is terrible. It's just bad.
It's almost like he was good at marketing but not technology.
It was apparently filled with typos and all sorts of fun things. So he's trying to get a job somewhere and it's like, here you go.
Can you imagine $50,000
for Steve Jobs's, like, teenage Steve Jobs's?
Whoever buys that, no one should ever speak to them ever again. They should be completely shunned from society. Because that, I can't imagine a worse thing a human being could do in terms of displaying their own stupidity.
Speaking of which, a man has sued Microsoft for a new copy of Windows 7 after a forced Windows 10 upgrade. And isn't he also suing for like $600 million?
Well, it's either $600 million or a fresh copy of Windows 7 that will not automatically upgrade. Those are the two choices that he's given Microsoft.
We're going to follow this one and see how it turns out, because I think we can all relate to that guy's frustration.
They have, in the past, been adamant they will not, under any circumstance, let you go back. So,
nice. Well, this is a story that's been covered in a lot of places. Apple devices are dialing 911 from its refurbishing facility, and so what I like to imagine is that the AI has become sentient, and the Apple phones are being disassembled for parts, and that final 911 is their pleas for help.
I think the reality is that a lot of these devices have button combinations. So the watch, for example, you just hold the button down for, I think, 20 seconds or something, and it calls 911. So there's a bin of 5,000 watches, and the one on the bottom has just enough weight on that button that it's getting pushed for 20 seconds. But it's enough that the authorities are complaining because it really is causing congestion among 911 during busy hours, and they can't get the lines open for the real emergencies.
40 calls a day.
Yeah, that's...
That seems excessive.
It's definitely a crime to call 911 over and over.
Yeah.
But who do you charge? Who's the watch owner at that
point? Tim Cook. We charge Tim Cook.
He can afford it.
There's not really a lot of meat to this story, but apparently Barbie is getting, like, programmer Barbie. And I think we mentioned that before, but they're going ahead with it. Like, it's going to be a thing.
Well, there's going to be veterinarian Barbie, Dr. Barbie.
Well, that's great.
It's basically STEM Barbies, you know, because we want girls into that. Do you remember? I don't remember when it was. I don't remember how old I was. I think it was college or post-college. It's been, you know, at least that recently. They came out with collegiate Barbie or high school Barbie or something like that, and she spoke, and one of her, like, you pulled a string, and one of her things was, math is hard.
Oh, yeah. And the feminists
lost their mind over that one. So,
Python is hard.
Modern Barbie, totally comfortable with math and programming. And I don't know. I'll be interested to see exactly, like, how deep of a programming concept do you think they get into? Do you think programming Barbie gets into recursion? Because I would love to see how programming Barbie covers recursion.
Or pointers.
For a six-year-old.
Now remember, we don't work with null pointers. That will cause a segmentation fault.
Division by zero.
You think they'll go for an algebraic explanation of division by zero or a geometric explanation?
It's, you like, know what?
Look at the asymptote.
We should, when this comes out, we should get it and do it on Twitch.
Live stream. Yeah. I feel like that people will take that the wrong way and then it'll turn into like, oh, it's, maybe we could get Krista to do it because Krista could get away with it. Because we would make fun of it and then they would be like, you're just part of the problem. So,
gatekeeping.
Krista would be merciless.
But it'd be, see, great. Here, I don't think, I think the way to look at this is not criticizing, that's not the problem. Why don't we just accept that young girls can go through the same channels as young boys to learn programming?
That just, no, we can't. That just seems too reasonable.
Is that not gender equality?
No, it must be separate but equal.
I mean,
by definition, that is perfect.
How about instead of Barbie, how about O'Reilly? That's what I'm saying.
Just change the cover to pink and we'll call it a day.
Now you're just pandering.
Datecoin, you sent this. This is an ICO for dating. Now, this is like a Russian bride type dating thing.
I don't know. I think so, but you could read every word on this page and you would still have no idea what Datecoin is. So back during the week they announced this. It turns out they've already done the first round of ICO and it was successful. But yeah, I think this is sort of like a gold digger type dating app.
Industry problems that we solve. Low efficiency finding a matching partner, fake photos of accounts and non-existing girls, and unreliable personal information, hidden subscription fees and payments. So I guess it's like, wow, you know, I've been burned by those Russian dating services.
Yeah. Now, they've been running this app. I can't remember what the name. It's like Denim, I think, is the name of the app. But they've been running this in Russia for a while. And I think the idea here is they're using the blockchain to confirm that these Russian beauties are actually Russian beauties. And there's no fakes and there's no catfishing. And then you somehow, I don't know if you use your tokens to transfer to these girls. Now, they did mention in-app purchases. So I imagine that's somehow transferring something to the girls. And it also mentions that these girls are seeking established men, meaning rich. So, yeah, I think this is sort of a pay-for-dates type of app that is run by the blockchain and uses its own cryptocurrency.
Wow. What a time to be alive.
Date coins.
You heard it here first. And last, hopefully. Hopefully that doesn't become a thing.
I think that's going to catch on.
Is it going to be a thing that we cover a lot? Because I just... I weep for humanity.
Well, if it comes to the United States, there's going to be government intervention, right? Because, I mean, there's basically prostitution.
I don't think so. There have been the naturalization service, they have some really invasive questions and stuff. But I actually know a guy that did the whole mail order thing, and they're actually happy. Like, it's a thing. Well, they've been married for a long time.
But I don't know if this is necessarily ending in marriage. I'm thinking this might just be sex services.
Oh, well.
And they wouldn't necessarily have to be Russian. You could sign up from anywhere now because they're rolling this out worldwide.
Yeah, it's definitely true that INS keeps a close eye on that kind of thing, at least in the state that it's in right now, because my friend would tell me that every now and then INS would show up and then separate them and then grill the both of them on the marriage to try to figure out if it was a sham marriage, and then they would, you know, it was fine, and then they would disappear. But I guess that other people have a more difficult time with that.
But, of course, I imagine that there are loopholes. Like, prostitution by barter, I imagine, is also still illegal, right? Yeah. Like, could I trade a bushel of corn for a sex act? This would, because, you know, cryptos are not currency. We've established that. So is trading a crypto for sex the same as trading U.S. dollars? I imagine it is.
I don't think a couple of bozos on the internet are equipped to answer that, but it's fun to think about.
Well, let's ask the audience. What do you think?
Yeah, driving that engagement.
Is trading U.S. dollars for sex acts the same as trading cryptocurrency?
What if it's a consensual thing? Like, it's like the Aristotelian, you know, friends with benefits, where it's, you know, you're mutually getting something out of it, but, you know, there is an exchange of goods involved, but it's mutually beneficial.
Well, in the modern climate of gender equality and all that kind of stuff, the answer is no. This is not tolerable.
What about like a combination of Tinder and the farmer's market? So it's like, it's Tinder, but there's an exchange of, you know, succulent tomatoes and corn and potatoes.
How many pounds of alpaca fur do I need to trade to offset my sexual attractiveness with this lovely girl?
Well, see, that's going to be your initial offering. Your initial offering is going to be, you know, X number of hundreds of pounds of alpaca fur. And that's it's kind of like a dowry, I guess.
You get, what would be the smallest unit of, you know, like fine tuning that? It's like, you're gonna have to add 4 eggs to really get where I need to be on this.
I was thinking about like more like seafood. Like, you get some of those rare types of tuna that are really exotic, and it's like your dowry. Dowry is like this one type of tuna
on a farm.
Like, yeah, it's like
farm tuna.
It's like, wow, that's really rare. But okay, I mean, I guess because you could parlay that into it.
Yeah, that's why we have a standard unit of exchange. And
it's not the Daycoin.
It's always going to be more convenient.
All right, we'll see you next week, everybody.
This really is the end. So this is the last news that you'll get this week. But I guess...
just a few days and you get another one.
We probably don't have to solicit this, but let us know what you think about the new format. And, of course, we'll pimp Patreon again, just for just $1 a month. See the whole news all at once.
Woo! As it was intended. We're going to try this. We might go back. I don't know. We'll see how YouTube reacts to it, too.
See if that change.org petition starts up.
Or just a forum thread. You know, you can ask in the forum. I don't know. See you guys.